This is News Talk 1400 KFRU Columbia Morning. Mark Mills in for David Lyle. It's 8:33 as we move through our program this morning, and we're going to have a conversation about amateur radio. So Central Missouri Radio Association, Chris Swisher in with us this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. And also a guest with him that's here as well. Let's start with here to talk about Field Day coming up this weekend. So tell us, what's a field day?
A field day is an event that's been occurring since 1933 with the ARRL, the American Radio Relay League. What we do as a group of amateur radio operators, we go out and put out our radios, antennas, all the equipment associated with that, and we try to make as many contacts as we can with other amateur radio operators across the nation that are doing the same thing that we're doing. It's a chance for us to hone our skills, check our equipment, and make sure that we're ready to go should a real emergency arise.
So there will be folks all around the country that will be participating, various locations, obviously, the same day.
The same day, the same time. We will be starting our local field day at the same time they will, 1 p.m. Saturday, and we'll go through 1 p.m. Sunday, making as many contacts as we can.
In that time frame. So amateur radio, ham radio, it's also been known as. So for someone who doesn't know, describe amateur radio.
I'm going to turn this over to Jim.
Okay.
Jim Whitehill has been an amateur radio operator for a number of years, and he has a really good feel for how to explain that in layman's terms.
Right.
Well, I could start with the FCC's description, which goes back over 50 years. And what they say is that the purpose of the amateur radio service is to advance skills in the technical and communication phases of the radio art. Those words are very interesting. Some of us are interested in the technical aspects. We like to build circuits and radios and so on and fool around with that kind of thing. Some of us like the art of it. I'm a Morse code operator, and I just love the sound, the music of Morse code. All kinds of people get into ham radio. I was licensed when I was 12 years old. That's when I learned, in those days, you had to learn Morse code. You no longer have to learn Morse code to get your license. I teach a class with a colleague from the Central Missouri Radio Association for the technician license, which is the first level of license. We're hoping that Saturday, people, in spite of the warm weather, will be able to come out and see what we're doing. Our location is at the upper parking lot of Rockbridge State Park, and we'll have three, possibly four, transmitter stations set up around that area with various antennas. It'll be quite spectacular to see all that. We're thinking with the weather forecast that we heard this morning on KFRU that it might be better to come out after 6:30. It might be a little cooler on Saturday.
Yes.
We certainly welcome visitors. One of the stations is going to be a get-on-the-air station for non-amateurs. Normally, you have to have a ham radio FCC license in order to operate on the ham bands. But we'll have a control operator who's a ham radio operator, and folks can come out and use the microphone. If they know Morse code, they can do that. We'll have a digital station for a digital modes. The whole panoply of modes are going to be available, including satellite communication. We'll do that. I should mention that everything's on emergency or portable power. We're not hooked up to the power lines. We're using generators, batteries, and solar power.
And that's part of the sort of the interest of amateur radio operators, the fact that and sort of one of the reasons for Field Day, if I understood the information, was to be able to practice this as if there were no power available from overhead or underground lines. And that's what amateur radio really is all about, or at least that's a big part of it in certain times when storms come through, whatever the kind of storm is, there isn't power, but there are amateur radio operators with the ability to get information out and to bring information into a particular area. Is that right?
That's exactly right. The best example of that, I think, in recent history is Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. All the cell towers, all the first responder communication systems went down. They had people in hospitals they were trying to evacuate. There was no radio communication between the hospital and the helicopters needing to come. So they flew in a ham radio operator with his equipment, his portable equipment. He was on the roof of the hospital, and he would, and there was a ham radio operator in the helicopter, and they would go back and forth and serve as a substitute alternative to the lack of communication.
Right. Yes. And I know that's part of that that process. Among the Central Missouri Radio Association, how many amateur radio operators licensed are there in your group?
Well, there's a lot of hams that are in the area that may not even be part of our group.
Right.
I can tell you that we have probably between 35 and 50 amateur radio operators in. There's actually several groups around Boone County, 35 or so that are really active in our group. We go out when there's severe weather. We spot for tornadoes, provide that information to Joint Communications, and really are here to serve any agency that can use communication assistance. The one thing that we're not allowed to do is operate commercially. I can't charge for my services.
Right.
You can't compensate me in any way for the communication services that we provide.
Yeah. You were talking about back when you were 12, had to learn Morse code, that sort of thing. And I took a test and acquired a radio license, a third-class radio license, when I was 14. And I know that process, at least from my perspective, the radio license has changed significantly. How about the amateur licensing? Has it changed much in that time frame?
Yeah, they dropped the Morse code requirement about 20 years ago. And every 4 years, the license exam questions are updated. A lot of the updating, the two big updates, I think, are the introduction of transistors and integrated circuits in terms of the radio circuits. The other is the different modes, different ways of operating. Those communication skills include now keyboarding, which a lot of people who do computers, kids and others, can keyboard
right
much better than I can. And so there are some deeply scientific, exquisite modes that hams now use in the digital formats. It's an exciting time, and the tests try to reflect that and introduce the tests introduce you to the wide range of opportunities in amateur radio.
Yeah.
So that people have a view of that, as well as the FCC regulations.
Sure. And there's a wide age range of folks that are amateur radio operators?
Oh, absolutely. The youth services are something that we're really encouraging to get in. We all feel that the reliance that we have on cell phones, while they're an excellent tool, we can't rely on those really when an emergency strikes. By getting the kids who are interested in that keyboarding, the computer connection to, I think, of what we do, that the more that I can try to show them that there are alternate ways to make communications without a monthly charge, that I can keep track of my family, find out information I wouldn't be able to get should that cell phone die.
Sure, sure. I know you mentioned Joint Communications earlier, a couple of minutes ago, but I have some connections to that, and so am certainly aware that, especially in disaster times, but certainly in bad weather times, that sort of thing, there is, in fact, a real connection made there. And not that you need any legitimacy, I don't mean it that way, but this certainly is a group of folks who legitimately provide information, and in many cases when information couldn't be provided otherwise.
And that's just it. We try to be trained in what we're looking for, the information that our served client, in this case Joint Communications, is looking for, and we best tailor our skills to what they're wanting from us.
Yeah. Let's go back to field day so we get folks out there if they're interested. And as you said, anyone invited to come out, watch what's going on, see what's happening there. So Saturday, the 22nd, from 1 p.m. to 11 p.m., and then on Sunday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., so nearly 24 hours, or at least that's the process. And during that time, folks could watch as you and your colleagues connect to as many people as they can in that time frame around the country.
Absolutely. Now, we'll be operating all night out there. It's just that it's a lot more convenient if we can have folks available to give you a small tour of what we're doing and explain what the different pieces of hardware are.
Yeah, so you'll be doing this for that 24-hour period, but certainly folks...
Some guys are going to lose some sleep over the weekend.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So that's coming up this weekend. And Rockbridge State Park...
Absolutely, Highway 163 right. South, past Rockbridge Elementary, and it's on the upper parking lot. So okay. You won't go into Rockbridge State Park, the Devil's Ice Box.
Right.
Of course, I guess that will be a good place to cool off. Maybe.
Yeah, that may be a good thing to have close to you in that situation. Very good. Well, I appreciate your time this morning, and hopefully some folks will come out and check on amateur radio. The field day put on by or participated in with the Central Missouri Radio Association and a national activity going on. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You bet. 845, we're back with more. It's News Talk 1400 KFRU.